Hello, and welcome to PMC Live. Every first Thursday of the month, KFSK talks with folks at Petersburg Medical Center. I'm Shelby Herbert, and I report for KFSK, and today I'm joined by PMC CEO Phil Hofstetter. Welcome, Phil.
Hello.
Community Wellness Manager Julie Walker. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome. And special guest Cindy Lagadakis. You may have heard her voice this morning on her DJ set. She is also a board member at PMC. Welcome back, Cindy.
Thank you very much.
This is a call-in show. You are welcome to call 907-772-3808 if you have a question. All righty, let's get started. Phil, how is the site prep at the new hospital? How are things going over there?
Yeah, thanks. A couple of updates related to site selection, site preparation. It's kind of we're moving in that direction. We are able to use our HRSA appropriations funding to not just complete the design, but also do a little bit of site work. And that is the hope while we are still have a season left before wintertime. And at least that's the goal. We have our environmental study complete. We're making sure that we have HRSA approval for that. And then we have some notice and public notice we have to put up for that as well, and then we can start looking at some site work following that. But yeah, we had a contract amendment that went before the board, and then we had also that went in front of the assembly for approval, and so we're ready to go. We have a notice to proceed, but we're just kind of on hold until we have a few of these other other pieces in place. It's very complicated. It's always it's very tedious and very complicated.
Certainly. And you mentioned that HRSA grant in the most recent assembly meeting. I am so glad I was checking my notes. I didn't want to say HRSA grant in this live show. Could you refresh our memories? How much was that grant?
So HRSA is an acronym for Services Resource Association. It's a federal organization, and it's HRSA for short, and it funds a lot of healthcare activities. In this particular case, Senator Murkowski's appropriations went to HRSA to manage the grant in the form of a grant. So it was appropriated funds for this project, and that then gets managed by HRSA. So we have to follow very strict guidelines and regulations under HRSA. HRSA also is a granting agency for other areas, such as programs recently that we received for funding. So I don't know if that's what you're referring to or not, but we recently, as I mentioned in the past, financially it's been extremely challenging. We've had to dip in our reserves last fiscal year, just to make sure that we're not having to lay employees off and become financially viable in the future. What is sort of the strategy and financial plan? And it's really challenging with the way the inflation has increased, costs of everything, and healthcare workers have increased on the order of almost 20% in a lot of areas. So how do we kind of stay afloat in that kind of situation as a community hospital that doesn't receive a subsidy? And one of the strategies is we needed to advocate for grants to support our programs. And HRSA is an area where we applied for 4 HRSA grants for programs. We received 2 out of the 4, which is good. We actually scored really well in the other 2, but didn't get those because of the competitiveness of other hospitals across the nation. We most recently were very fortunate to receive a opioid overdose grant. It's a mental health grant. We're the only ones in Alaska that did receive that. That amount for 1 year, and hopefully is to build out the program a little bit more. And we are focusing on bringing and supporting our primary care providers through the form of a psychiatrist To help us build out some assistance through telehealth and through our mental health program and building that program out, because it's not supported financially. Mental health is just one of those areas that insurance companies don't pay. It's very hard to build out, and so it's a huge challenge.
I saw that in the meeting notes from last month. I was curious about the new telehealth expansions at your facility. I saw you got two new rooms. Can you tell me about the rooms for telehealth?
Inside our facility currently?
I believe so, yeah.
So we received a Community Foundation grant a few years ago and another grant to help build out the rooms to provide some services. You know, it's dual services. So the clinic exam rooms downstairs in our clinic that serve to see patients normally, but it also has equipment in there where you're able to have, a specialist in Seattle, an Anchorage specialist, and you can go into the room with a MA or even the provider where you can have a facilitated visit with your specialist provider. And so we're trying to build out that model of care. And that's live. That's called, like a Zoom call where you're basically live with the provider. There's also different kinds of telehealth where you like an email, secure email, what's called store and forward concept. And that's where you're having sort of, a provider that asks for a higher level opinion on a case. And that doesn't necessarily happen in real time. That could be an image that's sent, maybe labs that are getting reviewed. Maybe it's a case where somebody has had something done by their specialist and they need a follow-up care. So there's all different kinds of technology, and those rooms were created to help provide the availability of whether it's imaging technology or live camera technology to be able to support that.
That's really exciting. Yeah. Thank you so much, Phil. Yeah. I see that you also have an update on the WERC building. That's WERC. Is that a collaboration with UAF?
No, I wish.
Oh, certainly. I was looking at the different WERC this morning. Sorry about that.
Yeah, WERC is actually, it's a Department of Treasury. It's the funding. It's $20 million that the state is receiving for infrastructure under the infrastructure bill. And the state put PMC, Pearsall Medical Center, new facility project in that list, and to help facilitate and build that funding stack for the new hospital. The WERC building is Workforce Education Resource and Community Center, basically. And really, it's by definition, the Treasury has very specific criteria under the parameters of that funding. So the building is required to be complete before the main hospital is being complete. So we have to get, we have to meet the metrics of that grant in order for us to receive that funding. And so it's really geared towards community education. And so building out educational opportunities, not just for a hospital, but for the whole community. So the idea is that you're providing Wi-Fi access area where a community can come in as a public entry point. That's why it's sort of a separate building. And having a space to provide educational opportunities virtually. And also to a Wi-Fi access point. During the pandemic, a lot of libraries were used for people they would drive up and get access to Wi-Fi. And so it's to build off of that concept as well and actually have a location for that. But we do have our nursing program. We do have a number of different programs that we have our WAMI program with our physicians, which is Wyoming, Washington, Wyoming, Idaho, and Alaska medical school. And we have a lot of opportunities to be able to utilize that for the hospital, but it's dedicated towards the community. And the other area is public health. So our public health is the health monitoring piece. And so that building also is to have a lot of those services in that building.
Certainly. Kind of on that note, could you tell me a little bit of like what aspects of public health does it monitor?
Well, it's undefined. The easiest thing for us to do is we have space that we lease and work closely with public health. Public health has been an incredible partner, particularly through the pandemic. Erin and her team have been instrumental in helping us with vaccines, helping us with connections to the state, Anytime that we needed access during the pandemic for epidemiologists or Dr. Zink, you know, we were able to get those very readily through great collaboration with public health. So we want to make sure that we have dedicated space for that. And we feel like that's a very strong area that needs to be recognized and built upon.
That's exciting. So I'm detecting a theme to this conversation. Lots of new room for new projects.
Room and collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. On that note, I see you all have a conference coming up in late September. Where are you going?
I serve on the Alaska Healthcare and Hospital Association. It's our state association. I serve on the executive board. So it's a meeting related to that, but it's also the annual meeting for hospitals to gather and to have an annual meeting. And so we're heading up there with a couple of board members, Cindy and Jared, myself, and Jennifer Briner, chief nursing officer, will be attending this year. And so it'll be a good opportunity to connect, and you know, we get to experience what other hospitals are dealing with and the challenges. Everyone's feeling the financial strain. That's probably the biggest thing. Workforce and finances are common theme across all the different organizations.
Certainly. With Jennifer Briner departing briefly for this conference, I mean, I saw in the meeting notes last month that the nursing department is feeling the strain a little bit. Or you guys, are there folks to pick up the slack? Your nursing program producing some good hands?
Yeah, it's always a challenge. Nursing is definitely an area where you're constantly in need. It's a sought after area, but you know, Jennifer has a really strong you know, number of leaders in her program that are able to manage very, very well.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Phil. Anything to add? Any other new grants?
Julie's over here to talk about a Falls grant, I'm sure. It's another HRSA grant that we received.
And that's Falls Prevention,
yes.
Right?
Not winter, fall, spring. Yeah, it's Falls Prevention. Yeah,
fall is here. But, I can feel it.
It's a different kind of fall. So we just received a grant from the Administration for Community Living to focus on preventing people from falling, going down on the ground, that kind of fall. So the grant is a 3-year grant, and it's really exciting because we don't have anything like this in Petersburg. We don't have any programs that really focus in on preventing falls. Falls, we have a lot of them. We have an aging population. We have, you know, inclement weather that can affect people falling. We talked to our local EMS providers. They said nearly 20% of the calls in the last year have been related to falls.
That's astonishing. Yeah. 20%.
Yeah. Ooh. So we see a lot of those in the ER and in the hospital, and, you know, following up with our rehab department. And so our goal with this project is really to prevent the falls in the first place. And so with this grant, we are implementing 2 new programs. They are evidence-based programs. And what that means is they have been rigorously tested in a research kind of a setting, and they've been proven to work. And then once they've passed that point, then they roll them out to community-based settings for kind of the real world to implement them. And so those programs, the first one is called Tai Chi Chuan, Moving for Better Balance. So we've probably all heard of Tai Chi. It's a similar type program to that. It's a balance training regimen, focuses on body control and coordination, strength and range of motion. All of those things have been proven to be improved with this program. That program starts next week, and we've been advertising in the community. We have a wonderful new facilitator, happens to be Phil's wife, Sarah.
Oh.
She is amazing. She's attended a really great 2-day training, and she's been practicing it. This is a practice that she does in her daily life. She's been doing Tai Chi for a while. So we're really excited to have her coming on board to implement this program. It'll be on Tuesday and Thursday mornings at 10 a.m. starting next week. And we do have, it's a 24-week program. Uh-huh. So one of the biggest things with
it's
the evidence is to get the results that are proven to work is really to commit to the whole the whole program and make as many sessions of those as you can. So it's not like a, you know, I come once in a while. You're not going to get the full benefits out of it. So we are asking that people that sign up for this class, you know, they need to start within the first month. And if they can't, then they need to wait till the next offering, which we'll be doing it continuously throughout the year. We also have a virtual option for this class. So if folks are not able to do it at this time, the startup, if they want to do it from their home, we have another facilitator that's ready to do that, that's been through the training and ready to do that. We also have rides available. We want to decrease any barriers for people participating in these. So if you need a ride, you give us a call. We can pick you up, get you to the class.
Sounds pretty convincing. I mean, folks, this isn't like a gym registration on New Year's Day. This is a commitment.
It is. But it's something we are actually getting a lot of people interested already. So we started advertising last week. We already have a handful of people that have called, have emailed, have told us that they want to attend.
That's exciting, Julie. Do you have limited spots?
We're probably limiting for the first round. Right now, I think we have 6 people confirmed with a few more that have expressed interest. We'll probably limit it to 12 to 15 people in the first round. But again, we'll have that virtual option. And if we have enough interest, we can certainly do another one. With this grant funding, we have the ability to do that. So it's really exciting. Then we also have another program that'll be starting up.
Bingo Size.
Bingo Size. Ah. Yeah, this one is a social, fun environment where we'll have music and prizes and, of course, bingo, which everybody loves bingo. This will be starting up at the Parks and Rec Activity Room, and we have to wait till they're done with their construction. So this one will start on September 25th, so a couple weeks away. This one is a little bit less of a commitment. It's a 10-week program. It's also shown to improve people's strength and decrease their risk of falling. And this one, you can join at any time. You know, it's not as much of a training regimen that you're going through. You're playing bingo and doing some exercises. To get the full benefit, you should attend the full 10 weeks. But if you don't, it's okay. We still want people to come to this at any time.
Certainly. It sounds like there's also kind of a social component to that. Can you tell me if that's,
that's part of the plan? That has also been a proven benefit of it, is just social engagement, for especially for seniors that are attending this class. So it's open. Both classes are open to all ages. They are free thanks to this grant. We're able to, you know, rent the spaces, pay the employees, do all the things we need to do to make this a free program. So both of them are free and open to anyone. All levels welcome. There are modifications for both. If you're, you know, not able to stand or not able to stand for very long, both of them have modifications for that.
Absolutely. And can you tell me about the community interest you've seen so far in the bingo size?
Yeah, you know, we actually just started advertising that one like yesterday. So we haven't gotten anybody calling us yet for that one. But we will be going to the community bingo hall on, they do Friday night bingos. We will be doing what we're calling a sneak peek of bingo size at that event. So the, you know, 25 to 30 people that go to bingo already will get a little taste of it, and we'll hopefully that'll drum up some interest of people that are already playing bingo and might want to do some additional activities like this.
That sounds like a very logical collaboration. That's exciting. Thank you so much, Julie.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Awesome. Thanks. Any final thoughts before we move over to our new schedule for board meetings?
No, that's it for me.
All righty, Cindy, got you in the hot seat here. So we've all had some big changes over the last month. KFSK is working with PMC to broadcast the monthly board meetings. Can you tell me a little bit about how you all arrived at that decision?
Well, I think that it's been an interest of the community to learn more about what's going on at hospital board meetings. We've put information online, and Phil and staff have been very open with the public. So have the board, but it gives people one more opportunity to check in, to sit in on a meeting if they want to and participate. So I think that that's a positive thing.
Certainly, certainly. And can you tell me a little bit about the new location? We're now in
at the assembly chambers.
Yeah. How do you like the space?
It's really nice to sit and be able to look outside at the trees and the sky. I can't complain about that at all. And it's a bigger room, so it's more comfortable. We can have more folks sitting in, and certainly having KFSK staff being able to sit at the back of the room and do the technical stuff makes it a whole lot easier for you guys too. So hopefully we're reaching people not just in Petersburg, but people outside of our community who have an interest in what's going on in town and at the medical center can listen in too.
Certainly. And for the folks back home, those meetings are broadcast on the fourth Thursday of every month. And now at 5:30. Mm-hmm. So that was the other change. Awesome, awesome. Cindy, can you tell me a little bit about what is the role of the hospital board in shaping PMC's future? What do you do as a board member?
I think we have a couple roles. I think we all approach it as being a little bit of cheerleaders for the medical center, but also sort of a sounding board for the community and to set some sideboards on what we think should happen and how finances should be handled. I really, in listening to Julie talk about the programs that we're instituting at the hospital, I like the idea that we've kind of migrated from worrying about, oh my gosh, we have to address this, you know, broken bone or this terrible condition, to being excited about and promoting a healthy lifestyle and kind of getting out ahead of things. And why wouldn't we want that? Why wouldn't we want that for our community? And I think that it's exciting.
Certainly. On that note, Cindy, you are involved in a lot of things in the community. You're a volunteer here at KFSK. You're involved in the Clausen Museum. You are, you wear a lot of hats here. Why did you get involved on the hospital board?
I was trying to remember my history. I first started going to some hospital board meetings when I was on the assembly, and at that time they had done a condition assessment of the building, and clearly there were some things that really kind of desperately needed to be addressed and we're still working on now, and became interested in that process. I'm, you know, obviously vested in the community or I wouldn't be volunteering for things. And I lived in a community in Alaska that had no medical center. We had a public health nurse who was on staff occasionally. And for the most part, people got medevaced when there was an emergency. We have a tremendous resource here in Petersburg. It's not only an economic engine, but it provides an incredible quality of life for people and it attracts people to our community. So I want to help see that move forward.
Certainly. Thank you so much, Cindy. Are there any big issues on your mind right now? I mean, you mentioned the you became involved out of interest in the new hospital project. Are there what's behind that on the list?
I don't know. That's the big one. I really want to see that move forward. I'm, you know, when we go over our finances, I'm on the resource committee. We talk a lot about where we are financially, not just us though. Hospitals across the United States and critical access hospitals, of which we are one, have really been challenged during this time, and some of them are going by the wayside. Certainly don't want to have that happen in Petersburg. And so just keeping an eye to that and trying to make sure that we help steer things in a positive direction is something I'm vested in.
Certainly. Cindy, thank you so much. I think that's a great note to wrap on. Any final thoughts before we sign off here?
No, I think that was great. Well said, Cindy. Thank you very much. Yeah. No, and all of our board members are elected, and I want to make sure that people participate in that election process, you know, that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Absolutely. It is. And so is our community forum. We are having a couple debates that are going to pop up on our calendar, so make sure you check into those. Awesome, awesome. Well, thank you all so much for joining me. Thank you, Cindy. Thank you. Oh, I actually have...
Put somebody through right now.
Thank you. I have our very first caller on the line. This is our first question to our guests here. So Hannah Floor, fearless reporter Hannah Floor, is putting that person on the line, and I am loading them up. Give me one moment here. It's been a minute since I've done this, but very exciting. Welcome to PMC Live. What's your question?
Hi, I wanted to thank KFSK for putting the meetings and the board on the radio. It's very exciting, and I didn't know about this question opportunity. I'll certainly get the word out. People complain, and they don't take the time to get educated. So thank you. I wanted to ask,
thank you for tuning in.
A touchy subject, but many people in the community are concerned. The medical project or master plan is so, it sounds so thinly spread with so many new programs in a short period of time. They sound exciting. But there are 13 apartments and homes, I've been told, that are utilized by the medical facility to house travelers. And we're in a housing crisis right now. I know 4 of those are used by nursing staff. Can you give me an idea of where the other 9 are being used?
Yeah, hi, thank you. This is Phil at PMC. Thanks for the question. Housing, we have not increased our housing capacity as far as rentals. It's a really good concern, without question. We often have travelers. We have travelers in many different departments. Our therapies program has a number of travelers.
I know that, but yeah. Who is using these 13 apartments that you pay for every month?
Our traveling staff. Traveling
Ooh.
Staff.
What departments? 4 from nursing, that leaves 9. What departments are they from?
Yeah, we have often visitors that come in and provide services to the hospital. So we have we are having a physician come in next month. We have some therapists, physical therapy, occupational therapy that are here as well. So we often we have CNAs, certified nursing assistants. We have history. We have some MAs that were travelers. We have optometrists that come in, and we provide specialty care. So we have they have to have a place to stay. So we're having other providers that are coming to visit as well. So yeah, it seems like a lot, but we are always booked up with those places.
Well, thank you. That was my main question, Mr. Hofstetter, and I appreciate you doing this call-in show. And I think it's important that instead of complaining that people know this is going on, I do pray that you focus on the facility, because I agree that it is drastically lacking and needs to be replaced. When we hear of the additional programs that keep broadening, it's kind of concerning of, like, are we focused, you know? That's just from a layperson's uninformed position. So thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. All righty. Very exciting. Thank you so much for answering that question, Phil.
Yeah.
Awesome. And thank you all so much for joining me. Thank you, Cindy.
Sure.
Thank you, Julie. And thank you, Phil.
Thank you.
Coming up next, Street Beat with Steve Barry. This was PMC Live.